Hey there, welcome to this episode. I am so glad that you're joining me to talk about closure, to talk about unresolved conflict. Now, I know it's not a sexy topic, but it's one we need to talk about because I don't want you struggling anymore to find closure. I don't want another man to, you know, drag you along in a relationship because you want closure. I don't want a friend or a situation to continue to go on because you want some kind of closure around the situation. Our brains love closure. They don't like anything open. We love to check things off of our to-do list. We love closed tasks, right? Because when things start to feel open and undone, we start to get overwhelmed, which can lead us to anxiousness and even anxiety. So today I'm joined by Jessica Hatton, a in real life friend. We hang out together at the She Works His Way Narrow. But most importantly, she's really going to be diving into the topic of unresolved conflict and closure. So this episode is for you if you feel that desire, if you feel pain from not having answers, if you feel like you're going to work and there's this conflict with an employee or a boss that just feels unresolved, this episode is for you. Our guest today, Jessica, she's a ministry wife, she's a mom, and she's also a licensed mental health counselor. She has over 10 years of experience in private practice, working with children, teens, and women. So there's nobody else better than to share this episode with you on closure, on processing unresolved conflict than Jessica. If you are struggling with your feelings and you're struggling with even trusting God in this situation, pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, because I walk you through how to actually have closure with the Lord and that we don't need any approval of a parent or a friend or a spouse, but that we can actually go to the Lord and He closes the loop of our pain. And if you're like, what does that even mean? I highly recommend, again, you go pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. All right, let's go ahead and get to the interview. Jess, I am really excited and honored that you're here with us today. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before about unresolved conflict. And I think maybe the listener, the heart of the woman, is really actually struggling with closure. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that when we're in our pain, we're not like, oh, this unresolved conflict. It's more so, I just want closure for this situation or this breakup or this divorce or this situation at work. So how do we get to the point of this unresolved conflict? And what does it really even look like?
So I think that, getting to the point where we have broken relationships in general, I think it's a long process because we don't go into a relationship anticipating that it's going to end broken, but when we go into it, we're looking for someone that we can be real with, to have accountability with, to enjoy life with, that is authentic. And that's ultimately what we are yearning for, is to be known by someone. And so it can be absolutely heartbreaking when those relationships end like that. But often we don't handle conflict in the appropriate ways. And so it may not even always, I say always, be necessarily the fault of one party or another alone when a relationship comes to an end. But often because we fear conflict or we don't want to approach it, or maybe we're just very uncomfortable with it, when we don't address issues within a relationship and grow through those, we find ourselves just becoming estranged from each other. And so then when the relationship falls apart, we experience all these different crisis of self, I guess you would say, like, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? Does anyone even know me? We could also experience, you know, hostility, anger, frustration, bitterness towards the other person. You know, it could sometimes be a long road of getting to that point, but I think that a lot of times it comes from like a fear or a very uncomfortable feeling in dealing with conflict.
I think pain often causes us to build walls. Mm-hmm. And something that I have been learning myself is, how do I keep my love on towards people, towards everything else going on in my life? Because when things start to happen that we didn't expect, or situations and there's pain involved, we do want to shut down and kind of turn away and go, see, I can't trust anybody, nobody cares. But how would you, you know, work with somebody, or what would you say to them to help them keep their love on and not shut down?
I think that, well, that's a hard question, but I would say that it probably first starts with evaluating or questioning, like, why you're experiencing that alertness, I guess you would say. Like, so in any form of counseling, I think that most counselors now are teaching their clients to be very self-aware. And so awareness of their emotions, their thoughts, their behaviors, and what drives them to do these things. And so when we are pulling back for any reason, it's really good to evaluate, okay, what's causing me to pull back? What am I feeling? What emotions are going through me right now? How am I responding, not only in my behavior as far as like pulling back, but also like, what is my body feeling? And then ultimately, what am I thinking about? Because, you know, all of that influences why we're pulling away. And so to address it head on, we have to just constantly being in tune with ourselves. And then we can like challenge ourselves to, in a sense, rise above and allow that kindness and that the vulnerability that we need to show through and keep that relationship going, while at the same time, like, expressing our needs for what we want and need.
Yeah. I think also we tend to shut other people out, even if they're not the person that hurt us.
Yes.
And, you know, through, I know you love Jesus, so let's talk about this mm-hmm. even from mm-hmm. a biblical lens. You know, how would you help women through the love of Christ really walk out the pain points? Because we were talking about making sure we address issues, but I think women often think, maybe what is the right time to address issues? So how would you begin to help women through a biblical lens really yeah. walk out this process?
Okay. It's so good. So one of my favorite authors is Kurt Thompson. Do you know anything about him?
Not really. No.
Okay. So he studies interpersonal neurobiology, but he is phenomenal about writing about the brain science and how it's connected to interpersonal connections and spirituality. But he says that community is a container in which we can grow in our relationship with the Lord. And so it's so fascinating to see how it affects the brain chemistry and everything when we are in relationships, and how that can be a model, albeit a human model that's imperfect, of how we can often relate to the Lord. And so how we relate to the Lord can really be like where we look to see not only our own imperfections, but where we need to grow in our relationships. And so in our relationship with the Lord, let's just say, like, if there's a specific sin in my life that keeps coming up, that I run from, that I am afraid to approach with the Lord, that I'm ashamed of, then that is clearly going to hinder me in other relationships with other people. Not only hinder me, but it's going to affect how I view myself and the value that I have in relationships with other people. And so we can really look both ways, not only to our relationship with the Lord and see how we approach that relationship with Him, but then we can also look to relationships with other people and see how those relationships play out and really kind of show us what we may not even realize about how we perceive the Lord. But I would say that from a biblical sense, we can look at relationships as a form of sanctification, any form of relationships. And so much growth has to happen with that. But part of that in this world, in this side of the kingdom, there is going to be pain. And so becoming okay with the knowledge that at some point people are going to hurt us. At some point we are going to hurt someone else, and we have to walk through that in a merciful, graceful way to grow is a philosophy of relationships that many people just don't have. And so, yeah, just recognizing that pain is going to be a part of that. And I had a really good friend that the other day she said something, and I'm sure it came from somebody else. She is a reader, so I know it probably did. But she said, pain is inevitable, but suffering is a choice. And I thought that was so profound. And I thought, I got to like tuck that little nugget away. But it's so true. So when we acknowledge that pain is going to be a part of our lives in relationships, we can decide if suffering is going to be a part of that or not. So how are we going to deal with the pain that comes up?
I love all of that. It makes so much sense too, because I think we get into relationships because we think they're going to be perfect. And so as soon as somebody says something we don't agree with or upsets us or anything, we want to run because we're like, well, this relationship isn't perfect. And we're not saying that, but in like subconsciously we're thinking, well, this person hurt me, so they must not love me. And being able just to say like pain is going to come, but how we deal with it is important. My next question really kind of ties into this, but how would you help the woman that wants closure, but the other person isn't involved? Because we often think of reconciliation as two people, but really, I mean, reconciliation is two people, but forgiveness is one. So, you know, in my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, I talk about how, you know, you can take closure with the Lord and that's all that you need versus your parent or your spouse or whoever to close up for you. So how would you, what are some tips or steps that you like to walk women through when closure from another person isn't available?
I would say that, well, I mean, you kind of hit it head on that forgiveness does not take the part of the other person. So sometimes, especially if it's not necessarily what I would consider a safe way of reconciliation. So when, you know, there's any form of abuse, when there's any form of, well, I guess abuse would probably be the best word, that would come out of the attempt at reconciliation with that other person, then I think forgiveness without the participation of the other person is always in like the best way of dealing with that. And the beauty of it is that when we are called to forgive, the other person's not required to be a part of that. It takes only us and the Lord. And so just remembering that it is a choice. So our feelings may not initially follow. And it could be a daily or an hourly, sometimes a monthly, and maybe progressively like, you know, a yearly choice. But it is going to be a constant choice that you make to forgive that person. I think a lot of people think that forgiveness is, oh, I just have to like move on and pretend like it never happened. And that's far from the truth. We can acknowledge the pain and deal with the pain that it's caused, grow from the pain, but it's allowing that to not taint ourselves and the relationships we have moving forward, releasing them from that to the best of our ability. And so, yeah, I would say that's probably a big step. Sometimes if the other person is not a part of that forgiveness process, I will actually have the client write a letter of forgiveness to the other person, knowing ahead that they will never send it, they will never give it. But it's just a way of, it's very cathartic for them to be able to say what they need to say and get it out without bringing that other person in. And so it can be very healing. So often I use narrative therapy for that. Or you can take the like form of therapy rather than writing like to the other person that's hurt you. You can write to the Lord, like in a prayer form, almost asking him to like help guide you through some of that. So journaling can be really good for working through a lot of forgiveness.
I know.
I don't know if I answered that question.
No, I know I have spent hours journaling, and mm-hmm. I have found it very, very therapeutic for myself because I just let it out. I'm not trying to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying. I know nobody's going to read it. And I just talk to the Lord, you know, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. Some journal entries are like three sentences and I'm like, I don't want to journal today, you know? But what do you think is our biggest roadblock though, when it comes to being a healthy body in Christ? You know, what is that? Do you think it's our pride? Do you think it's our ego? Do you think it's kind of the self-righteousness? And I say all of those things because those are easily involved when it comes to having healthy conflict, because we want to point the finger, you're wrong. But I am somebody that's like, let's take responsibility for our actions, even though we can't take responsibility for somebody else's, but we can still take responsibility for our words, our actions. Yes. So what would you say? So maybe somebody listening can just be like, oh, maybe I am kind of doing this. I'm not aware of it. What would you recommend or say is our biggest roadblock?
Yeah. I think ultimately it boils down to sin, clearly, but I see a lot of times fear being one of the biggest reasons that we don't deal with it appropriately. And that can be a fear of anything, to be honest, like a fear of being known, a fear of being hurt again, a fear of feeling like I don't matter, maybe a fear that I'm not good enough. And some of that could even be like pride, rejection, not wanting to be criticized. I mean, there's so many different things that could be culprits, but I think a lot of times it boils down to fear. And then fear, of course, causes us to, you know, react, whether it's lashing out at someone, whether it's freezing and not dealing with something, or fleeing. And sometimes we just run from a relationship because we don't want to deal with it. So I think in many cases, it often boils down to fear. And then that can be seen come out in many different ways.
I think that's a great answer. I was like, I wasn't even thinking that, but when you said it, I was like, oh yes, because sometimes we're afraid of the real answer too. What if they don't love me? What if they don't like me? And so we react to protect ourselves from that because it's like, well, I'm going to make sure that they know that they can't hurt me. Yes. And I'm going to put on that armor and let them know that I'm actually going to hurt them first.
Yes,
exactly. And that really, you know, we don't realize that we're doing this, but the more we can become aware, like you said earlier, the more we can actually begin to kind of interrupt those patterns. So, you know, as we kind of come to a close today, what would you encourage the woman that's really wrestling with even believing that God loves her because of the pain that she's experienced in conflict? How would you encourage her to continue to pursue love? Of course, God's love, but also just love in relationships, whether it's friendships, you know, spouse, things like that.
I would say that one of the best things that I could recommend is to be very in tune with yourself. And so I go back to, you know, what is causing you to fear being in relationship, and however that comes out, but what's causing you to, you know, be uncomfortable? Is it like feelings that you're having? Is it specific thoughts that you're having? Do you question yourself? Does it bring back lies from previous experiences? There are so many different things, but being in tune with yourself and knowing like what you're feeling, why you're feeling it, and then how it's coming out is so important for being able to move forward, because then you can know, this is why I'm doing this, and this is the challenge that I have. So therefore, then I can like move forward in that challenge. But I think that being in community is so important. And we see it in scripture because, and we know it logically, you know, but we see it in scripture, like the Lord in his triune nature has community within one. And so it's part of being created in the image of God to want to be known and loved and be in community with other people. And so to think that growth can happen outside of relationships is not really possible. So pursuing relationships, pursuing healthy, vulnerable, like authentic relationships is so important for growth. And so I encourage women to like really do some soul searching as to what's going on and why, and then challenging themselves to figure out what they can do to kind of conquer those lies, in a sense, to move forward in relationships. And I'm reading a new book right now, and Jeannie Allen actually, and she basically says that being in community is one of the most important things we can do as believers, and also one of the hardest that we can do. And it's true.
Isn't that true?
I was gonna say, so true.
It's true. You know, when I work with women and I'm like, how's your relationship with God? And they're like, it's great. Mm-hmm. And then I say, well, how is your relationship with people? And they're like, wah, wah. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, where's the disconnect? Because if we're in relationship with the Lord, then we should be in relationship with people.
Yes.
And so it should be going from our head to our heart, and the Word should be transforming us. And that's why I get passionate about helping women, you know, mm-hmm. get things from their head into their heart. So Jess, thank you for your time and your encouragement.
Thank you.
Where do you want women to find you and connect with you?
Okay, so finding me on the web, it's christianmomcounseling.com. And then Instagram is Christian Mom Counseling, as well as Facebook. And then my personal is Jessica Byerly Hatton. Actually, Jessica B. Hatton.
No worries. I will.
There's too many.
I know. I get it. I will include all of that in the show notes below. But again, Jess, thank you so much for your wisdom and your time today.
Thank you.